Woof, woof. Joseph, 65, in Austin, Texas, kicking off the greatest podcast ever, The Dogs.
Welcome to The Dogs Podcast with your hosts, Blake Reniker, Zach Kopp, Justin Charles, and Josh All. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of The Dogs. This is Josh All hosting in place of Blake, who decided that apparently we get our birthdays off here at The Dogs Podcast. None of you guys told me 2 weeks ago.
But... yeah, nobody told me back in May, but no big deal, you know, whatever.
Hey, but Blake makes his own rules, so I'm just kidding. Happy birthday to Blake. Hope you're keeping your birthday balls fresh with some of that Manscaped Crop Preserver deodorant, whatever you're doing out there today. It's a hot one. So I'm joined here, as always, with Justin Charles and as sometimes with Zach.
Yep, I made it today.
All right. So thanks to Joseph from Austin, Texas for that sweet intro. If you would like to get an intro on the show, head to thedogspodcast.com. Click the send voicemail option in the menu. Remember to check us out on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Please subscribe on YouTube. I just looked up some stats this weekend. 85% of our views on YouTube are not subscribed. Wow. So think about that. Only 15% of our views out there are subscribers. So if you're checking out the show and you like what you're hearing, just click that subscribe button. It's free.
Easy.
It doesn't cost you anything. Easy. Yeah, it's pretty simple. Just hover over that red button, click it. And you can also click the bell so you never miss a new episode. If you just want to listen to us while you're driving or mowing or whatever you're doing, you can download the shows on Apple, Spotify, Google. And if you are on Apple, please leave us a 5-star review because those help us get discovered by other Browns fans like you guys. All right. So this week has also been our first week of the brand new content for our new Dog Pack community. So if you want to check that stuff out, head over to jointhedogs.com. Become a member to access exclusive content that you can't get anywhere else. So like I said, we just kicked things off this week. There's not a ton of content available yet, but we are releasing new content every week. And it all starts with our new Dogs After Hours show. So like today, whenever this episode is over, we're going to leave the cameras rolling for another 20 to 30 minutes and, whatever happens, happens. But most importantly, becoming a member of the Dog Pack is also a great way to support the show so that we can continue producing great Browns content for you guys. And lastly, remember to head over to thedogspodcast.com/schedule to cast your votes on what games you think the Browns will win this year. And of course, I'm hosting, producing, and I don't have anything ready to go. Yeah.
I'm just keeping this chair hot over here. That's about all I got going on.
All right. So here we go. Fan schedule predictions. The current, I think last week we were at 15-2.
Yep.
This week we're at 14-3.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the Green Bay game on Christmas has now become a loss for the Browns.
Okay. Mm. I mean, that game will be definitely a lot tougher if Aaron Rodgers is playing.
I completely agree with you. I think it's a flip either way. Like, game's tough or Denver's tough.
Right.
Depending on what he decides to do. Maybe he'll retire, and then neither one of those games are going to be tough.
Right. So, I mean, that one there is kind of a wait and see. But 14-3, I'm not complaining about that.
Yeah. 14-3 is like most wins we had from, 99 to what? Last year.
Right.
So that's awesome.
So I'm good with that.
Yeah. The record thing, I mean, I know that a lot of fans are hyped right now and, 14-3, 15-2, that'd be awesome. It's very difficult to go an entire NFL season and lose two games.
I know.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, the way that you got injuries that could come up that it's going to play a factor in this season, does anybody, play guys a little bit less during the regular season, the beginning of the year, because I want them to be more fresh, not get them hurt since we got that extra game now in the season. It's going to be, could be a different type of NFL season that we're seeing.
Yeah. So just keep that in mind when you're thinking about the schedule and you're making your predictions over at thedogspodcast.com/schedule. I'm not saying you need to pick the Browns to lose a lot of games. Don't hear what I'm not saying, because I think we're going to be really good this year.
Yes.
But, last year we were really good, too. We went 11-5. Defense is a lot better this year, but you got to look at the teams we're playing. A lot of them are just as good as last year, if not better.
Right.
Everybody's trying to improve from year to year. So we'll see what happens in the preseason with injuries, because there's always Achilles and ACLs that happen pretty much day one.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Fingers crossed that doesn't happen to us this year.
One team not getting better, the Texans. Hey, so we'll be okay.
Right. Yes. Yes. That's one team that's going the other way.
One team not doing that. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Never know. Maybe Deshaun Watson will end up in Denver. He might be the next Denver. You know.
Yeah.
That's where everybody also, wants. Everybody wants to go to Denver all of a sudden, yeah. I guess.
Yeah. I don't know why. I can think of one reason, but I'm not going to say well, that's more of a Dogs After Hour show thing, kind of, but, you know, whatever.
Right.
What, it's not the wide receivers?
It's not the wide receivers, no. Okay. No.
All right. All right, let's do a little listener mailbag quick here.
Listener mailbag.
All right. Now let me pull up the voicemail.
You're doing great, yeah.
All right, our first voicemail. This one's a little... This one goes back to what we did last week with our keep trade cut scenarios. We'll talk about that in a second. But this voicemail, as I drag this out, is from Tennessee Dog.
Stop dismantling the Browns and let's enjoy the fact after a lifetime of futility, we have a team that is coming together regardless of how they may fall apart.
Okay, first of all, that's got to be a true Browns fan right there. Stop bashing our team regardless of how they're probably going to end up.
Got music and TV or something in the background.
Yeah, that was our podcast in the background.
Okay,
yeah,
okay.
I think he just got done listening to him. Was so fed up he had to.
Right.
So what I'll say for Tennessee Dog is I'm completely with you, man. Like, even if they're like going to be, I remember before the 0-16 team, like before they started, I was like, oh, this team, the roster is not, you know, great, but maybe they'll surprise some people, make the playoffs.
Right.
Every year is like that. So yeah. I get it. You know.
Yeah, I mean, in no way, shape, or form are we saying that we wanted any of these scenarios that we did to happen. And maybe, you know, we could have been a little more clear, I guess, that we thought that, you know, we didn't want any of these situations to happen. Obviously, we want to keep everybody.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I think that's the goal of every NFL team. You look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they just brought back every single starter. That never happens.
Yep.
You know, so we wanted to do something. We did it last year. It was just an episode where we wanted to see, you know, kind of how, what would you do in those scenarios if you had to make that decision? You know, which position do we think maybe is more valuable to the team with everything else that we have currently on the roster? So we didn't mean to upset you there, Tennessee Dog, you know, or anybody else that went.
Yeah, there
comments
was quite a few
YouTube.
People out there, yeah, especially on YouTube, that were not thrilled with our cut and trade picks, which I honestly, to anybody out there that was a little confused or upset or anything about last week's episode, we weren't actually saying to cut or trade anybody.
Right.
It was basically a prioritization exercise saying, okay, basically rank these guys of importance in this scenario from 1 to 3.
Right.
Everybody's important. We love this team. I don't want to cut or trade anybody on this team.
Yeah, it was all about your opinion, who you would keep out of that scenario and those three guys.
Exactly.
You had to keep one. You were only able to keep one,
right?
You know, in that scenario. And I think that, you know, some people might have thought we were thinking, oh, these are a deal that's going to have to go down.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, 14-3 is way too high on our priority list.
Yeah, so if we do something like that again next year, maybe we change the name a little bit. I mean, it was basically like our first scenario, Baker, Chubb, Ward, it was kind of like, hey, if you got to re-sign these three guys, who are you calling in the office first?
Yep.
We want them all. We want all three of these guys, but it was, you prioritize that franchise quarterback is what we came up with.
From what I read, sounds like 2020, don't do that. Right. Sounds like we got to come up with a new episode next year.
Right.
Yeah.
Leave that one out.
Yes. Right. All right, so we'll do our next voicemail. Came in from the website. If you want to leave a voicemail, head to thedogspodcast.com, like I said earlier, and just click send voicemail in the menu. This one is from Troy in Cleveland.
Hello, this is Troy Kozlowski calling again. I just wanted to see your guys' takes on who you think should and will get the starting job out of Greedy William and Greg Newsom. My take on it, honestly, is I hope and think that Greedy will get the starting job. Not to take anything away from Greg Newsom. He's phenomenal. He's our first overall pick, and I'm sure we're going to use him at some point.
Yeah, I think we will.
It's a really good question.
Mm-hmm.
Really good.
It is. So I kind of know where I'm leaning on this. Do you guys have an opinion? Quick, you want to go first?
I do have an opinion. Okay. I know this sounds crazy, but from what I'm hearing, I think Newsom might steal that job. I knew it's going to go to camp. And they said, you know, obviously Greedy is limited, you know, in the mini camps right now. But from what I'm hearing, it's going to be very, very close. They're both very gifted. They're both very good. But I think just Newsom is going to be different. He's going to be something special. I could be wrong. I guess that's a great...
Yeah, I think right now, I think this starting job is Newsom, kind of from what I've heard from camp, you know, just because Greedy's not 100% yet. Yep. So, you know, Newsom's getting more of the reps, you know, with the defense and stuff, because there's things that Greedy's just limited and cannot be on the field to do. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, I think that's like 6 weeks off before training camp starts, mm-hmm. you know, with mini camp over. Hopefully Greedy gets a little bit more healthy, and then, you know, we'll get to see a little bit more competition between the two of them
yeah.
to see who's going to get that. I think it's going to be a fight until the end of camp, you know, of who's going to get that nod and get that job. And it might be a thing where one guy gets it maybe to start the season, and yeah. then it changes, you know, a couple times throughout the year, unless the guy takes off and, you know, he's just far more superior. But I mean, if I had to pick, I would put my chips on the Newsom side, just with the injury yeah. that Greedy's coming back with, and everything that they're saying about Newsom, that, you know, what he's done here over the summer is he's already picked up on like almost everything. Like, he's excelling in he excelled in mini camps. He's already above the learning curve of the college to the NFL game.
I will say this, and then Josh, you can jump in.
Yeah.
I think that going into the season, going into training camp, it's Greedy's job to lose. He's comfortable. He knows the system. Technically, he's a veteran kind of guy. What happens? I mean, I do think Newsom will end up climbing above him, but I think it's his job to lose.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm definitely on the opposite of that. Okay. I personally think it's Newsom's job to lose.
Yeah.
And I argue just a little bit about the Greedy knowing the system, because he didn't even really play last year, and that was the first year in the system.
This is true.
You're in there,
and
though.
They didn't get to. Yeah, I know. I understand. You're in the building. You're in the meetings. Yep. So he's definitely got a leg up on that. But, you know, we'll touch on the mini camp. That's what we're going to do after the mailbag. We're going to dive into a mini camp recap. Mm-hmm. But just to touch on some stuff with Newsom, the reports out of camp were competitive mentality, just a straight up dog out there. They said they're very impressed with his maturity.
Yep.
For being, I think he's still only 20. I don't think he's 21 yet, or maybe just 21. I can't remember. He's young.
Either way.
He's young. They said, so he's very mature in his mentality, but he has room to grow in maturity with his body, which means the dude can get in the weight room, put on some weight, build some strength. But, and that's good. He's got that young body. That means injuries might not be as big of an issue as we've been sort of worried about with him. But with Greedy, I don't know, man. I mean, you're looking at a second round pick from a couple of years ago that's hardly been on the field versus our first round pick from this year that, I mean, Barry Shuck from Dogs by Nature told us time and time again, the Browns are high on Newsom.
Really high, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, training camp's going to be big. The thing that's really going to hurt whoever wins that job is opening day, they get the Kansas City Chiefs that they got to worry about going out there to play defense on. So, you know, I think that, you know, throughout the season, you're going to see these guys on the field a lot. Mm-hmm. Both, you know, either way. Joe Woods does like veteran kind of type players, so that favors Greedy, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely going to be one of those battles that's going to be interesting to see how it unfolds as camp goes along.
I don't know if you guys saw too, Newsom picked off Baker on 7-7s in the red zone. So,
yeah. Oh, I didn't see it was Baker.
Oh, yeah. It was Baker.
Yeah, it was Baker.
Oh, it was Baker.
Nice.
The defense got very excited.
Yeah.
Yep. I had that in the minicamp stuff too. Oh, I mean, I can't wait to start talking about the recap and what so came exciting out of camp, because I know it's early, but man, come on.
I know.
When do we ever get excited as Browns fans these last couple of years?
Just last year. Just last year.
Oh, come on. We were excited for the Freddie year before it started.
We were.
All right, last one here. So this is from Tyler on YouTube, and give me just a minute here to kind of break down this whole conversation before we get to like the takeaway. So Tyler said, if Denzel Ward gets hurt again, he will not be re-signed. That's his take. Andrew Berry won't do it. It's not worth it to him. I love Denzel Ward. He's a Buckeye and a Brown, but we won't re-sign him if he gets it. Keeps getting hurt. So then we had another listener, Tracy, on YouTube chimed in. She said, hate to lose a player of Ward's caliber because of injuries. If we get 4 games from Denzel, that's 4 games that the opposing offense cannot use that side of the field. I'll take it. But without question, there will be a direct correlation between the number of games Ward plays and the amount of money he will get on his next contract, regardless of who he signs with. Okay, wrapping all that up, my question was, what is the level of injured that would be that you think would be the deal breaker? So basically, how many games are you comfortable with Denzel missing, and at what point do you declare him not worth signing to a long-term, big-money contract?
So I'm going to go ahead and say it's really not going to matter. Regardless of how many games he misses, he's getting re-signed. He's a lockdown corner, an outside cornerback. I agree with Tracy more than Tyler, but I kind of want to address, like, everybody says that Denzel Ward's always hurt. I kind of disagree with that.
Yeah, throw some of your stats out there. That you looked up, because I was surprised. We kind of talked about it, you know, when we were getting things set up here, and I was a little shocked, you know, because last week I was one that was saying, you know, he's always hurt and, you know, he's always missing games. So what do you got, Justin?
So obviously 2018, missed 3 games with concussion. Now, his rookie year, he was kind of reckless. I know he's a smaller guy. He's not a smaller guy, but he plays bigger.
Right.
He tackles bigger than what he really is. And I think the Browns have addressed that. And, you know, you see that. So we missed 3 there. In 2019, he missed 3 games with a hamstring injury, or 4 games?
I think it was 4.
Okay. So 4 games with a hamstring injury.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate. 4. You know, that is what it is. And then obviously last year, we had 3 with a calf injury, and then people kind of lump in, he missed a game because of COVID. I don't even know if he was positive or he was just on the list.
If guys miss a game because of COVID, I don't count it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what we said.
Because it's not an injury. Right.
So, I mean, it's kind of crazy to me. I think I told Zach, we were talking before the show, I said, you look at Xavien Howard from Miami. He is a top 5 quarterback.
Yeah.
Which I think Denzel, you could put him in the argument as a top 5, top 10 guy.
Yeah, top 10, I think, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he's probably right. With the injury, if you take out that, if he's playing all 16 games, then he's probably in that top 5.
Correct. But Miami, they had no problem locking him down to a 5-year, $76.5 million contract, $47 million guaranteed.
All right.
No problem. Didn't blink.
Yeah, so I'm looking at the stat you just gave me, so that means the last 3 years, Denzel's been on the field for 13 games. That's that's 75% or more, 80% of the season.
Right.
At least.
Yeah. Yeah. And I thought that was surprising. And I don't know why. You know, I was thinking maybe he missed more time. Maybe it's because his name's always in the injury thing,
and I think
every single week.
When he's not out there. So if last year he missed 3 games. Mm-hmm. Or 4, I guess, with COVID.
Right. COVID, yeah, yeah.
Man, but when he's not out there, it feels like he's missing 8 because he's just that
important.
Impact of a player.
Correct.
Right.
So I'm glad you brought those stats to the table. I didn't realize that. That makes me realize, as a fan, I think we're over, you know, we're getting a little bit too worked
critical.
Up about, yeah, a little overcritical of his injury history, because it doesn't seem to be that bad.
Yeah, so I think the Browns are obviously going to try to re-sign him. I think that the more the limitation on if the Browns can re-sign him is going to be what kind of money do we have on the table when that time comes. I think that that's going to be the situation, you know, can we throw 70-something million at him, because you also got Chubb and Baker and you got the line, you know, you got all these things that you're going to have to, you know, kind of like our keep trade cut, you're going to have that scenario of who gets the money, because eventually the money runs out. And then you got to see what you can afford. Now, obviously, they can restructure deals with other people to try to open up some cap room or get rid of a few contracts and do all of that. So it'll be interesting to see. I think obviously the Browns want to keep Denzel. I'd want to keep Denzel, unless, you know, for some reason he's missing 8 or 9 games the next 2 seasons or something like that.
I don't even think that'll matter.
No?
I think he could miss 8 games this year.
And you're signing him to $70 million?
So last year, Howard played every game. I guess I didn't really hit on that. He played every game in 2020. The year before that, he missed 11 games. The year before that, wow. 4 games. 16 games in 2017. 2016, missed 10 games. $76 million.
Crazy.
Yeah, say,
and he's that good. And Denzel right. is that good and has missed less games. So. Yeah,
so say he stays on track with what he's done so far in his career, misses 3 games this year. That means that he plays 14.
Yeah.
I'll take a lockdown quarter for 14 games
out
of 17. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, so like I like the point that Tracy made of, you know, you're getting, if you got him for 4 games, would he be worth it? You know, obviously, yes, for the money, but obviously he wouldn't be getting top money if he was only, you know, getting 14. So, but I like the point that Tracy made, you know, and how she threw out, you're getting, and when he is on the field, he really is that shut down corner who was, I don't know, I can't remember if he led the NFL last year in pass deflections, but he was at least in the top 5. I can't remember where he ended up at the end of the year. And he missed all that time, and he was still up in the leaderboard, you know, when it came to stuff like that. So,
well, that might also, and I don't have any of the numbers in front of me, but excuse me, that might also speak to how many games the other guys in that top 10 missed or whatever, you know what I mean? Because if he's missing 4 games and he's still at the top, well, that means those other top guys might have missed 2, 3, 4 games as well.
Right.
That's so right. I'm kind of coming around on it with you, Justin. Because I look at, you know, NFL, I really don't expect any player other than your quarterback, hopefully, to play every single game, every single snap, because injuries just happen so much. I mean, they've really made the quarterback position a low contact, as low contact as it can be of a position. So, but all these other positions, I mean, running backs we talk about. I mean,
the shelf life is crazy.
I'm sorry. I don't know about you guys. I don't think Nick Chubb plays all 17 games this year. I think that, I mean, you saw last year, no one thought he was going to miss.
Yeah, he was pretty durable.
But I could see him maybe missing a game. Or the coaches say, you know what, we're just going to hold you out of a game.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think that that's what the season could, you know, possibly, you could possibly see where they're going to limit. And, you know, the Browns are blessed that they have, you know, Kareem Hunt there too, that they could kind of do that. Maybe, you know, because it's kind of always been a, all right, we'll give Chubb 15 to 20 carries. We'll give Hunt, you know, 8 10, to 12, you know, something like that. Maybe there's a couple games this year where it's switched, you know, and Kareem's getting the bulk of the carries and then Chubb's, you know, getting a little bit lesser. It'll be interesting to see what the strategy is.
I think you saw the blueprint for it, though, for like that two-headed monster they wanted to roll out. You saw it last year. Another thing with money, I mean, we have $21 million rolling over into next year. And I mean, I think a lot of people forget that we cut Sheldon Richardson. Basically, he was just a casualty of what we wanted to do for next year.
Yep. Yeah. No, I agree. And then, you know, we kind of touched on him a little bit of he didn't want to come back. You know, we kind of, that was kind of in the news, in the Browns news, that I think Cleveland gave him maybe his best offer.
They did. They said best money offer. And he, I think that there was just a little hurt feelings.
Too much salt in the wounds there.
And I kind of get it, you know? Like, I'm guessing that they probably said, hey, do you want to restructure your deal? And he said, no, I want that $12 million. And they said, all right, well, hey, good luck. You know, we're straight cutting you. We're saving that money. And then
go see what you want.
Yeah.
We love you as a player. We loved what you did, you know, you did for the team. And, you know, he was probably just a little hurt by the fact of he felt like he was like one of the key spots. He was here, you know, kind of for like, not really the rebuild, but to get a bunch of these younger guys going. Now he kind of becomes that casualty that you had to get rid of and then didn't want to come back. So I think Minnesota, right, is where he ended up.
Yep. Went somewhere familiar, you know.
Yeah.
For less money. I think $3 million.
At least it wasn't in the division, right?
Right.
Like he went to Pittsburgh or Baltimore or something like that. That's the last.
Then you know there's some serious.
Right.
I mean, that seems to always be what happens. So it's nice that it didn't this time.
Right.
All right. Well, that's our listener mailbag this week. Before we head over into our mini camp recap, let's talk about summer. Summer's here, boys. Are you guys ready to unveil your beach bods?
No. Absolutely not.
Yeah, so I'm heading to the beach next weekend, and you guys know I'm going to be getting things nice and tidy before I leave. I got to pull the weeds, trim the shrubs, mow the grass, and no, I'm not talking about yard work. I'm talking about Manscaped and the new 4th generation performance package, which includes the Lawnmower 4.0. Yep, that's right, the 4.0. Complement your beer gut, dad bod, or your six-pack, whatever you're rocking. Compliment those things with a trim from the leaders in male grooming. The sun is shining. Calling your name, fellas. Join the 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped and get ready for a hot summer with 20% off plus free shipping by going over to manscaped.com. Enter the code DOGS, D-A-W-G-S. Again, that's code DOGS, D-A-W-G-S for 20% off plus free shipping. Pretty good deal. So let's talk about the Manscaped Performance Package 4.0. Inside the package, like I said, you're going to find the lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, the weed whacker ear and nose hair trimmer. That's a must have. Crop preserver, ball deodorant, crop reviver toner, heavily used in my household by me, performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag to carry it all, which I will be using next week. I believe they call it the Shed. The guys are pretty awesome with their marketing. Yep. Lawnmower 4.0, it's insane. Dare I say it's the goat of ball trimmers. Yes, I did say it. The fourth generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin safe technology. Head has saved my life numerous times. I can't rave enough about the skin safe tech. It saved me many a nick. The Lawnmower 4.0 has a 7,000 RPM motor, a new multifunction on-off switch with a travel lock, good for the travel, and it gives you the ability to turn on and off the 4,000K LED spotlight, so if you need to shave in the dark, go right ahead.
Right.
All right. And it's also waterproof, which is awesome. So in the shower or in the wild, from your chest pubes all the way down to your ball fro, the Lawnmower 4.0 is the best trimmer for you. So again, 20% off plus free shipping by going to manscaped.com using code DOGS, D-A-W-G-S. Code DOGS, D-A-W-G-S, 20% off free shipping at manscaped.com. Escape the shrubs and weeds this summer and shine with Manscaped.
Well done. If they weren't sending us stuff, I would be on the website right now, Josh.
You might have just taken Blake's job.
Yeah,
read was way better than anything Blake's ever done.
Well, Manscaped, they come up with a lot of the good talking points. And, chest pubes and ball fros, it's just, it's so good. So funny. All right, so let's dive into mandatory mini camp takeaways. Our recap from the past week, a lot of reports out. Is there anything you guys want to dive in before we hit our list here? Or
I think what's on there is the only thing that wasn't on this list that I saw was Baker said Peoples Jones looks great.
I saw it yesterday.
Really great, which is, man, another weapon. Just another guy that we expect to take a step forward. So it's good to hear that.
That was a really good one to hear. I think they were talking about, he showed up to minicamp just in shape.
Yeah.
They say he just looks the part.
Yep.
And we saw last year, we saw that he can look the part on the field.
Yeah.
Not just on the sideline, however his workout has taken him, but the way he was playing receiver last year as a sixth round rookie out of Michigan, and, as a Buckeye fan, I have no problem saying Michigan really blows at turning out talent.
They're garbage.
They take top end talent out of high school and just I don't know, ruin them. Who's the last great skill player out of Michigan to come into the NFL and actually make an impact? Okay, the silence is deafening on that one. But DPJ last year showed that. I don't know. I feel like if maybe he'd been in a different situation in college, he could have been a first or second round pick last year. You just don't know how this stuff would shake out. But
yeah, and like we said back, we said it multiple times. Urban Meyer was big on this guy.
Yeah.
There was definitely, eyes on him that saw hey, this guy could really be something if somebody, just worked with him, showed him, some of the different things that he could do in the NFL game. And it sounds like he's just taken all that knowledge that the coaching staff and the camps and that everybody's given him, working with Jarvis and working with Odell, and he's picking up on that stuff and just running with it. And he could be something that's very important to the offense this year.
The way he's kind of built and the way he kind of showed some flashes last year, really, did it remind anybody else of Michael Gallup from the Cowboys?
Yeah, big, physical type wide receiver.
Some speed in there.
I think you saw a glimpse too with the Tennessee game. I know he only had two catches, but he had that 75-yard, where he just burned everybody.
Yes. Well, and we talked about Nick Chubb in his rookie year against the Raiders. He had, three carries in that game, but he had...
Two touchdowns.
And how many? 100
What, 30?
30 yards. Like, yeah, it was crazy. So, yeah. You see, when these guys kind of break out some of those performances as rookies, it's like, okay.
Yeah, and the other
could
thing...
be a building block.
Yeah, the other thing I really like with DPJ is he's a good run blocker. On the outside, You know, when we're swinging the ball with Hunt or Chubb on the outside, you know, he's a big physical guy that can block a cornerback where, you know, maybe a rookie like a Schwartz isn't going to be as developed, you know, in that. And I think that that also probably, he felt maybe a little bit more pressure this year going in, you know, into camps with the drafting of Schwartz, that he felt maybe Peoples-Jones felt, hey, I gotta, you know, work my tail off this year because they just brought a guy in that's a burner that is really going to take playing time away from me. He's not going to affect, you know, Jarvis or Nodell's playing time, but it's going to take routes away from me if I don't, you know, go out and show that, hey, I'm the one that should be on the field.
Yep. I guess to counter your point, Josh, too, you asked for some Michigan guys, right?
Oh, you got it? Okay, you looked some up?
I looked up one that I can't believe you left off. It's your guy.
My guy.
Yeah. Tom Brady.
No, oh, we'll go back.
I said recently. Come on, not whenever I was still in diapers.
So the other one too would be Charles Woodson. I feel like is another one. Those are the two. There's.
I mean, are we leaving out Braylon Edwards?
I think if we're going to go back, not quite as far to when I was crawling around the house.
Yeah. Well, I'm old too, man. Come on now.
Brady's. Oh my gosh. He wants to play to 50 or whatever. Yeah. Braylon Edwards was.
He was supposed to be our, you know, he was supposed to be a big thing.
He was, I think, for moments in time, a few seasons. I mean, he looked like he was going to be, and then it just kind of fell off.
Yeah. But, I mean, I remember all the hype around him when we got him that he was going to be awesome, and he wasn't.
What was that quarterback Michigan had? While back, Denard Robinson.
Robinson.
He was a running back. He was a running back for Jacksonville for a while.
Yeah. He got a couple, you know, he had a couple good games there for a while until everybody found out, like, kind of what he was all about. And then.
Yep. And then, you know, Shea Patterson was a huge name for a while. Like, oh, this guy could be an NFL quarterback. And that never happened. I mean, they just.
Right.
I don't know, man. I mean, now you got Nico Collins going into Houston.
I guess I got one, and people will hate this. Browns fans will hate this, but Devin Bush. I think Devin Bush has the opportunity to be very, very good when on the field.
Yeah.
For the Steelers.
That's defense, though.
We're talking offense.
Okay. Well, I don't think I said it, but I was talking offense. But you're right. I mean, defensively, I mean, you know, we were big on Quiddy Pay.
Yeah.
This year. So, yeah. I mean, I think maybe defense, they might be a little better for Michigan, but offense, I don't know.
Chad Henne. I guess just Chad Henne then.
Well, he tore up the Browns.
I'm looking through just like right now.
That's tough.
Of some of the names of current Michigan players on NFL rosters.
I have it, yeah.
Well, don't.
There's not much. Yeah. You could maybe say, you know, with his time in Carolina, and then he's been hurt, and then I think he opted out of not playing. Devin Funchess.
Yeah. Oh.
You know,
I mean,
did you even know that he was with Green Bay?
Yeah. I think that he signed last and then he opted out.
He opted out. He didn't play last year. So I don't.
I would leave that
one. That's the one that as I'm looking through the list, I'm like, him?
Devin Funchess?
Right. Like maybe.
Leave that one off, man.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'd leave that one off.
So that tells you the quality.
Well, all right. So from DPJ, let's just keep it rolling into the receivers here. So we got some encouraging reports of OBJ. Out of camp?
Yeah.
No brace. Just running.
Saying that, they're already saying that he looks like the guy that's going to have to be double teamed.
Just a quick recap on the reports I put together here. Wednesday, Beckham was running full sprints and practicing his one-handed catches, you know, during the mini camp. Thursday, he did sit out, but that was pre-planned. They kind of had that set aside as his day not to be out there on the field. But Tuesday and Wednesday, Beckham was there.
It's nice because you see all these things on social media where he's, you know, I kind of talked about it the last few weeks, like he's out just running full sprint and you're like, you know, how much of that is, I mean, obviously it's hard to just make running full sprint look fake, but you know, you're like, you know, is it for real? Well, you get out there and you see him running drills and stuff like that. It's, man, that's exciting. Well,
and that's another thing. Like you know, I saw the video, of course, like I think most people did of him on the treadmill and stuff a few months ago. And it's like, okay, that's good. That's a good sign. Didn't look hurt.
No.
Right.
There's a big difference between running fast in a straight line, you know, on the sideline or on a treadmill, and then actually planting your feet and cutting and doing those sorts of athletic moves. So to see him, that he was out on the field catching passes from Baker, I mean.
It's exciting, sweet. Man. It's very exciting.
Anything else on Beckham?
I mean, I hope we don't just push him too much and bring him back too soon, you know, and that's just like my biggest thing. I get, you know, if he's looking great and he feels great and everybody's saying, you know, that he's good to go right now. You could, you know, by what you're seeing, I just don't want to push him too far. And then it hurts us further down the line. I don't know. Cause I don't think that as much as I want him to get, you know, reps with Baker and, you know, the offense, cause we've been saying, hey, we need to see more of that. We need to see that chemistry build. He's been around in the league long enough that he's not a guy that needs training camp. He's not a guy that, you know, that needs all that extra time and that wear on your body, especially coming back from an injury. So, just that's my one fear. I just don't want to push him too far. And then in training camp, it's like, oh, hey, he just had a setback. He's probably going to be out 8 weeks.
I would be less worried about the team pushing him than him pushing himself.
I agree with that.
Because I think that, and I know that I've not been the biggest Odell fan on this show, but.
Are you sure?
I think so. I think that's a fair assessment of myself. I don't know, self-evaluation, right. But I'm not going to sit here and say he's not talented. And I know the dude's a competitor. I know he wants to win. I know that was his biggest beef in New York was he just wanted to win games and they weren't doing it over there. And I could see him. He's got stuff to prove here in Cleveland because it just hasn't gone great for him so far. The public perception of him is, well, we know. I mean, you got that back and forth between fans. Like, some think he's awesome, some think he's always hurt and a waste and all this stuff. So he's got stuff to prove to us, to himself. I'm just afraid he might push himself too far too fast.
I think he's going to be okay. And I think it's interesting because literally 9 months ago, he tore ACL, MTL?
Yeah.
9 months ago. And everybody's like, man, you know, he might miss 6 weeks. He might do all these things. What about Adrian Peterson when he tore his ACL? Does anybody remember that?
Yeah, he was okay, I think, when he returned.
Pretty sure he ran for Mary Kay Cabot, everybody's favorite Browns beat writer.
Right. Everybody loves her.
Yes. She brought that up, and I was like, man, yeah, it's a great point because all he did was come back and run for 2,000 yards.
It was better than before, you know, for that season. So, it's, you know, it's going to be interesting. I love the fact that he's already, you know, healthy and he's out there and you're hearing this type of stuff. Yes. I definitely don't want to hear of, oh, well, he's still limping when he's walking and stuff like that.
No kidding.
So it probably got to go in and clean something back out in his knee, you know, something's not right. We definitely don't want to hear anything like that.
Best case scenario there.
Yeah. I think, yes, I agree. We're sitting at, you know, best case scenario that you would have told us 9-10 months ago. Hey, Odell will be after just mini camp, he's going to be out there.
It'll be June and he's going to be running, you know, individual drills. And it looks good.
Yeah. And it is a good sign that it is June. It's mini camp. Nothing bad happened. He was able to get out there and do some stuff.
Yep. Right.
We've got, a month off now until we kind of get back. I think it's July 27th. Okay. Yep. July 27th, training camp starts. So we got a month, a little over a month, like about 5 weeks. And hopefully they kind of ease him through training camp. You know, I don't really even care if he's out there much in the preseason, whatever. There's some time between now and September, guys, that if he really does get healthy, look out.
Yeah.
I feel like I do. They have like the same thing after like mini camps and like training camps. As long as we survive like the injury bug, it's just like a collective breathe out. Like, oh,
dude, and that's the one thing. Like, down, you know, I can't wait for training camp. But there's that love hate because every day I'm just like, okay, I'm going to refresh this feed. Don't show me anything bad.
Last year literally was, you couldn't.
Oh, last year.
You could take a nap and, you know, half your defense.
Three more guys went down. Yeah.
It was unbelievable. But.
Well, and that was on the defense. So let's transition over to defense. Our second point from minicamp takeaway was word that the defense is gelling very nicely.
Also very exciting.
Very good report.
Yeah.
The team is reportedly building cohesiveness and chemistry. Jadeveon Clowney said this is a good team. They're having a good time. Everyone is flying around. And then, like, I think you just mentioned on Thursday, Greg Newsom made a red zone interception off of Baker in a 7-on-7 drills, and the whole defense followed him to the sideline in celebration. Love it.
Yeah, everything you hear is the defense is just, it looks so different from last year. And, you know, it's...
Well, thank God for that.
It's faster. You know, they're getting guys, you know, we drafted people that are going to play fast. We've signed people that are going to play fast. They're thinner, you know, and I think that literally our defense has kind of, Joe Woods finally gets to run, you know, his scheme with some more of his type of players, but our defense is designed to beat two teams. It's designed to beat Baltimore and to beat Kansas City.
Yeah. Yep, and I mean, by beating those two, you're also designed to beat the Bills, which I think would be the third team you got to worry about.
Yeah, so I mean, that's where, you know, our defense has gone, and it's been by design. You know, Andrew Berry's, you know, figured it out. We played Kansas City in the playoffs last year, and then you kind of saw what Tampa Bay had and what kind of gave them some problem, and it was speed guys, you know, guys that can get after the quarterback, that can, you know, spy the quarterback, you know, like Lamar's going to do. You got to have people that are just quick. And in those games where we played those teams last year, you could tell the Browns were slow on defense. And they couldn't tackle, and they couldn't cover.
Now we're getting to the good points of it. Yeah.
To be fair, they were also mostly practice squad guys,
and mostly
this
hurt.
Is true. Which is true. So yeah, you hear, you know, that was kind of the biggest takeaway I think from camp is just how well the defense is kind of evolving.
I think you hit that really nicely. For me, last year I was so excited heading into like training camp and mini camps and everything to see what's our offense look like. Like,
right.
You know, we got this revamp offensive line. We got, you know, Austin Hooper's out there. We have all these guys.
Yeah.
And then more this year, I know what I'm getting out of the offense. What's this defense going to look like? So it was very exciting just to hear that. Because it could have been like, well, hey, I mean, there's things that came out. We'll talk about it in a little bit with Andrew Billings and stuff that you're like, oh, okay. But to hear that, just that, and everybody looks explosive. They're saying Jadeveon Clowney looks great.
Yeah.
You know, everybody looks great.
Yeah, and I kind of saw some stuff on Clowney that I liked to hear
because
I really wasn't a big Clown. I'm not going to lie. When he didn't want to come to Cleveland last year, I was like, you know.
Oh, yeah, we can go check the tape on that.
Done with him.
Yep.
You know, I'm with you, bro. I like the
mentality, and maybe it took last year because he didn't play great. And I know, you know, Blake likes to say he's always double teamed, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, I get.
Blake, but defend yourself.
No, never mind. Right. With Clowney, I like that he said that he's not coming out. He's not worried about, like, long-term deals. He's not worried about, you know, that next contract. And he's just focused on this season and, you know, what the team has to what he has to offer to the team rather than thinking, okay, well, I got to get, you know, paid next year, you know, because we only signed him for 1 year.
Yeah.
So I liked hearing that rather than, you know, him coming out and being like, oh, yeah, you know, I'm looking, you know, to get a bigger contract, you know, sometimes from somebody. Like, he's focused on this season.
Yeah, I think the group of players that they've got together, I think that they know that there's an opportunity here to do something very, very special. Now, like, there's very, very good teams out there.
Oh, yeah.
Kansas City is a very good team. We talk about Baltimore, and we like to have fun and talk about how they suck and everything. That is a good team. The AFC North is very, very competitive. So I think you hear when you talk to Browns fans that, you know, there is something that can be done here. There is an opportunity to be very, very good, and I think it would be disappointing if they didn't at least make the playoffs, which is crazy to even think that.
Yeah,
right.
All right, so next topic here, defensive tackle will be a key position to watch in training camp. So report comes out, says we have 8 guys fighting for roster spots for defensive tackle, and you know not all 8 are going to make this team, obviously. So key notes here, Malik Jackson, he's probably good to go. He's a 10-year vet. They brought him in. I think we need that veteran presence on that D-line, and they, you know, he can go outside and play edge rusher if we need him to, you know, from time to time. Andrew Billings opted out last season, Justin. You just mentioned this. Reports are that he showed up to minicamp looking strong, but also out of shape.
Yeah, and he kind of came out and addressed some of that stuff by saying, hey, you know, give me a month or so. And I think he said, I'll be back to, like,
dude, you had deadlifting, how many months?
Deadlifting or squatting or something, 900 pounds.
Correct, yeah.
Or something. Just give me about a month. And I mean, so I don't like that he came in, you know, out of shape. Overweight, out of shape.
Right.
He look, you know, they're saying, yeah, he looks strong, but he's slower and he's out of shape. And, you know, he's got some time to turn that around. But we were expecting, I mean, I know Justin, I think you were one that
starter.
Yeah,
expecting day one
big,
starter.
Yeah, big things from this guy.
Last year I expected that.
Yeah.
You know, and that was a very, it was a more competitive inside, you know, I mean, Richardson and Ogunjobi, but
right.
I think we read the same article. I think it was Joe Woods, and he said, you know, he's not really in great shape, but he has a month. He's in the building. That's what we have these mini camps for, is to get guys back into, you know, playing conditioning. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of disappointing for a guy that you expect was going to come in. I mean, right now you're seeing depth charts. It's Billings and Elliott as starters.
Right. Which is Josh's third point that you have on there, you know, that Jordan Elliott, second year guy, trimmed 10 pounds and showed up, you know, he's thinner and faster. So Billings shows up out of shape and not ready to go. And Elliott's there and he's like, hey, defensive is evolving. They want to get, you know, smaller, faster. I'm buying in. I'm going to show up and I'm going to look better than I was the year before.
Correct.
So, definitely going to be interesting. I think Malik Jackson, you know, he's going to obviously play a role because of the money that we spent to bring, you know, to sign him, bring him in. But yeah, Billings, you know, he's got some work to do here going into training camp.
Yep. And then they also talked about, you know, that's only a few of the names. I mean, we still got Togi Guy. Is that how you say it?
Yeah. Tommy
Togi Guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm blanking. Who were the other names on that? Marvin Wilson. That was the undrafted free agent we signed to the biggest undrafted free agent contract. So they obviously wanted to bring him in.
I think Tommy is going to be very good.
I do too.
Not probably this year. I think he needs. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's going to be a guy that we're going to be.
He'll be like
in.
A rotational, maybe. Yeah, you know,
I think you'll see some plays this year. We go, hey, there's Tommy.
Yeah,
yeah,
but. You're right. I think it's probably next year, year after, where it'll be, he's more of a cog in that that line.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
All right. So a couple other position battles here. So we touched on this earlier with Troy's voicemail. Newsom and Greedy are splitting first team reps at corner, which the fact that they're splitting first team reps goes to the fact, you know, Greedy's not 100% yet. Right. And I think Newsom's earning that first team rep at the same time.
I completely agree. I guess we kind of already touched on it. But they said you have it in here. Okay. That those two spots are going to be very competitive. And then I guess I'm going to your next thing too.
Go, yeah.
JOK and Mac Wilson, it's going to be, they're splitting reps, and that's going to be a very competitive.
Splitting first team reps.
Yeah. It's going to be a very competitive battle, which.
Yeah. I expect
JOK to outplay Mac Wilson. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
Yeah. JOK. You know, everybody's raving about this guy. I think it was Joe Woods came out and said, feels like we have two first-round guys, you know, that
which
we have.
I read that, and I thought, that's so awesome, man. Yeah, we got this guy at 52. I thought he was a first-round. We all did.
We thought he'd be gone before we ever got a chance to pick him. Yeah.
Every mock draft we did, he was gone by 15.
Yeah. Yeah.
Usually.
Yeah, so I like what I'm hearing, you know, about JOK and some of the stuff that we're, you know, what we're seeing in camp, what's being talked about him. They said that he's already, you know, he's a smart player, he's athletic, and Joe Woods already knows that by the time the season comes around that he's comfortable lining him up against tight ends.
That's awesome. That's huge.
That is going to be a big piece that we were missing from our defense.
Yeah, other reports I read, JOK, they said he displayed quick closing speed. He's been running step by step with some of the fastest offensive weapons. I'm guessing that means Anthony Schwartz, because I think he's our fastest offensive weapon.
I would say so.
I mean, I'm looking for JOK to be our answer to Lamar Jackson. Whatever else he gives us this year is just icing on the cake.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm hoping there's 11 answers to Lamar Jackson this year.
yeah.
Well, I think we might be there. We might be close.
Yeah. And we've talked about it, like, you know, in other episodes. We couldn't remember who was saying it, though. Anthony Walker was the guy that said, hey, Newsom is going to be very hard to throw on.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to be able to target that receiver. Just take him off the field. He's going to be out of the game plan.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
So to say that from a veteran guy like that is just.
Yeah, and Anthony Walker, we kind of talked about him before the show, kind of like a side segment here for him. Gonna wear number 4, Phil Dawson's old number in the middle of the defense.
I know we were saying the numbers thing, this year I'm gonna get thrown off because it's a different, like, when I watch a college football game, it's tough because I'll see like a guy out there like a JOK who's wearing number 6, I think he was, and it's like that a linebacker or a safety? I can't tell. I mean, you got defensive linemen wearing number zero.
Right.
It's so hard to.
I mean, good for the defensive guys. I feel like they don't ever, like, those are premium numbers and stuff, and they don't get that kind of shine. I just am like, I don't know. I'm just so used to, like, linebacker. Like we said, linebackers, 54, you know.
Yeah, Ray Lewis and maybe 92.
Yeah,
you
know, yeah, I need those 50s.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know.
So, yeah, it'll be a little different this year.
It will be, but, I mean, I think after a year or two, it'll, you know, you just kind of get used to it. I think it will be cool to see, I mean, the receivers out there and, you know, three. Yeah. 2, 7, whatever.
Right,
I mean,
Julio, number two. Right? Yeah, yep. He said he didn't want 11.
Because of AJ.
Taking 11.
DJ Moore switched down to 2 as well. Yeah, so Marquise Brown went to 5. Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, NFL is loving it because that's just more merchandise.
Yeah. Hey, that's old now.
Right.
Yeah.
That's like a new jersey. That's like, yeah. You know, a different segment of LeBron switching to 6. So everybody who had the Lakers 23 jerseys got to go buy the Lakers 6 jersey. So,
you don't have to.
Yeah. They put out that Cavs 6, I'd buy it, but that's about it.
Yeah, no one wants that Lakers garbage.
Yeah.
Right.
Coaches expect Greedy and Delpit to be full speed by training camp next month. Do we think that's actually the case? All right, let me just say, because I led that question kind of having my answer already. I believe the Delpit side of it. Okay. I think Grant Delpit will be ready by training camp. I think we're going to be pleasantly surprised with Grant Delpit this year.
So
Greedy, I'm not sure.
Okay, so kind of a hot take type of a thing, and you know, Blake's not here, but who's starting opposite of John Johnson? Ronnie Harrison or Grant Delpit?
Well, in minicamp, I didn't have this in here, but I did see that it was Ronnie Harrison splitting reps with John Johnson.
Okay.
First team reps.
Okay. So that'll be kind of another battle. You know, you got the Newsome and Greedy battle. You got the Grant Delpit and Ronnie Harrison kind of battle there. You know, obviously it depends on if they're healthy. Yep. You know,
right.
Yep. I'm saying, you know, you get a healthy Greedy going in, you get a healthy Delpit going in. Can they, you know, overcome the injured last season, you know, to reclaim their spot that would have been theirs.
Yeah. So Delpit would have started last year.
Yes. 100%.
Yeah. I think we're going to wait and see what happens, but they all might be out there.
Yeah.
Which is, if they're all out there at the same time, oh my. Because I said it during the draft, like things were happening, and I was literally on vacation and I was just watching the picks coming in, and I was just going, like, just ideas are going through my head. Mm-hmm. You throw all these, what do you do?
Right.
Like, I know, I don't think that we're particularly strong at linebacker. So the idea, just having one or two linebackers out there, if you just put JOK and, you know,
Walker or Phillips.
Yeah. And then just let, hey, good luck throwing on us.
Right.
Good luck.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting this year. Going to be a different defense, schematically than we saw last year.
And no matter what, it can't be worse.
Yeah,
it can't be worse.
Let's not say that because statistically it could be worse. I think we were only like, 21st or 22nd? I mean, we were bad. We could be, you know, really, really bad.
Statistically, yes. But I'm going to tell you right now, I'd go a lot by the eyeball test.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, you're much worse.
You're completely right.
That was pathetic.
All we needed, and we've joked about it, all we need is like a top 15 defense.
Yes.
And I wouldn't be shocked at all if this is right off grip, a top 5 defense. Because there are inside top 10.
Yeah,
buddy.
Yes, I mean, we instantly went from, got better as soon as Sendejo's contract was up. We took a leap ahead.
I can't wait for him to give me a Bud Light at the game. Just hit me, brother. Hit me. Let me get a flat tire real quick. Hey.
No more Sendejo. All right. All right, and then, you know, last but not least, we've talked about offense. We talked about defense. You also need special teams to win. Yep. So special teams coordinator Mike Prefer says that kick return and punt return positions are wide open. So what's that tell you guys?
I think that tells me that they're still I think that tells me good things about Donovan Peoples-Jones and his development, because I feel like he was that guy for us last year. He would have been that, you know, so maybe they're going to use him more on the field with the offense, so they don't want to use him in that type of a game. We got JoJo Natson still, so you know how's he developing? You know, that's one guy that got injured last year that we really haven't heard a whole lot about, you know, in the news. But you're not going to. He's not a big name guy. I know that we got Ryan Switzer still on the team. You know, he was that guy for Pittsburgh for a few years. So you got him that we brought in. And then you got Schwartz. You know, can Schwartz play that position?
With all that speed?
With that speed? Or is he, you know, too slim, too slender to be able, you know?
We said that about JoJo, though. We were like, man, he's really, really fast. And then he got tackled like twice. And that was it.
Yeah.
That was it.
And there's two names that you didn't mention that this kind of tells me they're looking at Demetric Felton and Dearness Johnson. Yep. And I don't think both of them make the team.
Man, it's going to be tough. I think that you're keeping one of them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're definitely keeping one of them.
And then you're probably, even though we signed JoJo back, it's probably almost like a battle between him and Switzer because I feel like you don't want both of them.
Right.
No, because, I mean, that's also your wide receiver room, and you can't keep seven or eight or nine receivers, so you got to kind of be strategic with
so who I think can that,
do both.
I think that, you know, I like that, him coming out there and saying that, and in training camp, that's a position that we need to, you know, I mean, you got to have good return game. You don't want to start, you know, every possession inside the 20.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got to have guys that are going to, you know, push the field and push on special teams. And then I'm interested to see, obviously, punter-wise, we got the Scottish hammer.
Jamie,
We got Jamie there. Kicking-wise, I know we have Parkey, but we also signed, can't remember his name, but we did bring another kicker in. So don't think that just because Parkey had a decent year last year that he's got the job, you know, wrapped up too. We've thought that before. We would have thought that Jamie Gillen was never going to be the starting punter when we got with
Colquitt. Yep.
You know, he got Pro Bowl.
He was so good. Yeah.
You know, and then but it worked out. We made the right decision because I think that, you know, I think Jamie Gillen is young and he's good as well. So being that. That's another thing to watch. A lot of stuff going into training camp that have like good question marks by it, not bad ones. Not like who are we going to start a linebacker because we don't have any type of a thing.
I wonder how long this coach is going to last for.
Yeah.
Is Haslam going to finally sell the team so we can get somebody that's good? It's all coming together very
Who's
nicely.
The quarterback?
There's another good one. Yes.
It felt like we were never going to get away from those conversations, but we're going to have a lot of good stuff to talk about this summer.
Yeah.
You know, going up right up into training camp and then through training camp preseason. And then, man, I mean, stick with us, Browns fans, because
we're
doing this. This is going to be fun.
You're welcome because last year was our first year doing this. And look what the Browns did. So.
Oh, it was 100% because of us.
Yes.
I mean,
we got to get some credit, right?
I saw my first win. I literally had never seen him win.
Yeah, that's all you had to do was join a podcast. All those years of heartbreak.
Just watch all these Buffalo games where it was snowing and just, you know, CJ Spiller run for 250 yards on us and, you know.
All right, so is that about do it for a minicamp recap?
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, we appreciate everybody, you know, joining in, listening, watching us. I'm going to be out for the next 2 weekends, but we are going to try to get one more episode put together for you guys later next week, so stay tuned for that. But if there's nothing else, just want to say thanks for checking out another episode of the Dogs. Let us know your thoughts as the Browns close out the offseason activities and as they prepare for the preseason that starts July 27th. We will have Chad from ESPN Radio Pensacola on the show as soon as all these vacation schedules wrap up and everybody's available and schedules can line up. We will get him on the show. He's excited to come talk to us. Remember to check out our new dog pack community at jointhedogs.com. If you're watching on YouTube, hope you guys all have a great week. And if you're a dog pack member, the new Dogs After Hours show starts in 3, 2, 1.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Dogs Podcast. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel and follow us on Twitter at the Dogs Podcast and become an official Dog Pack member at jointhedogs.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.